2 Timothy chapter number 2. And let's stand together and we'll read several verses. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. And we also have a big youth rally coming up, I think in May, this next year. Brother David Grice will be preaching at it. And so that's almost worse than letting your preacher boys preach. You never know what's going to be said. And so anyway, 2 Timothy chapter number 2 and verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. And Paul's writing here, a veteran preacher. In fact, very near his death, he's writing this letter to Timothy, a younger preacher, maybe in his 30s at the time, maybe in his early 40s, but certainly younger than Paul. And Paul knew that his time was nearing an end, and he knew that this young man, you know, if the Lord allowed, would continue on. And so I think he gives him some advice in this book that I want to use to kind of preach on this morning. And what I want to preach to adults and teenagers, all of us in here, on this thought, living faithful for Christ in the last days, living faithful for Christ in the last days. Let's pray together. Lord, would you bless our service this morning? I pray for these teenagers. Some of them a little bit antsy this morning, a little energetic. I pray, God, for a calming. I pray, God, for maturity. Lord, that they would listen to the preaching of the Word of God and realize it can change their life. It will change their life if they'll let it. I pray for all the adults in here, Lord, that you would help us be attentive to the teaching of your word and the preaching of your word. I pray, God, if there's someone here that's lost without Christ, that today would be the day of their salvation, Lord, that you begin to knock at their heart's door even now. And God, I pray through all of the sickness and the sleepiness and the coughs and all the junk that probably every family in here has dealt with at this point, I pray, God, that you would help us to be able to focus on what you have for us this morning from your word. And, Lord, we'll leave the results up to you, the work up to you. And we ask you to bless, and we'll thank you for what you'll do. And we'll ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You could be seated. Keep your Bible open there in 2 Timothy. We're going to go to some other passages throughout the message. But I want to just kind of make this statement right up front. The Christian life is about others, plain and simple. Just let it sink in for a second. The Christian life is about others, plain and simple. Until we realize that truth, we're never going to live out our Christian life as God intended for us to live it. In Mark chapter 12, they're asking the Lord, they're trying to, really it's some Pharisees trying to catch him in some, you know how people could be, and trying to get him to, trying to find something that he said wrong. But in Mark 12, listen to this, verse 28, one of the scribes came and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, excuse me, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. The second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. All right, so God just told us all in here that if we're going to live a right kind of Christian life and enjoy our Christian life, we're going to have to make sure we're putting Christ first. Young people, as you pursue the will of God for your life, or let me put it another way, as you pursue your future endeavors, your future dreams, The only way for to have true success is to put Christ first in those decisions that you make. Taking all of these jobs that keep you out of church on Sundays, I just don't think there's much Jesus in that. Now, I'm talking to you young people that have an opportunity to choose right off the bat and do right and get used to something that allows you to be totally and completely faithful to God. But faithfulness to God is not just a Sunday thing. It's a Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday thing. I just have to put Christ first in my life, and then my life has to be about others, and what can I do to be a blessing or a help to others? And then, of course, self is last. That's not my opinion. That's the way God put it in His Word. Now, when we choose to live that way, we're going to find joy and we're going to find peace in our life. As long as it is about me getting attention, about my life, my schedule, my likes and dislikes, my hurts, my kids, my feelings, etc., I will live a life with constant turmoil, and I'll never live with the daily peace that God wants me to have, because it's all about me. And so I'm always wound up about something someone has done or something someone didn't do, rather than, as a Christian, trying to find the next way that I could be a blessing to someone else. The Bible puts it this way, several different passages here. Philippians 2 said, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, or if any bowels and mercies, fulfill you my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. You know why some families can't get along at the holidays? It's because you don't put others first. You put you first. And it's your schedule. It's your time. It's your opinion. And maybe you recklessly give it. But we're to esteem other better than ourselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. How can I be a help or a blessing to someone else? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. And here's the point I want you to get here, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. He wasn't here to get a name for himself. He wasn't here to draw attention to himself. He was here to draw attention to the cross of Calvary so that lost people could be saved. The Bible tells us in Romans 12 and verse number 9, let love be without dissimulation. In other words, don't let your love for others be a phony thing, because most people can see right through that stuff. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. Here it is again, that in honor, preferring one another. In other words, you know what? It's not always about what's best for my family. It's about what's best for others. The Bible says, Jesus said in John 13:35, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one toward another. I like what the Apostle Paul said, because I've certainly felt this in my life and ministry. But to the church at Corinth, he said this. He said, and I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. See, listen, 2022 Christians, he wasn't waiting to see what the result was. He wasn't waiting to see how they responded to him. He was serving his Savior by serving others. In our text there in 2 Timothy chapter number 2, we've seen this passage preached. We've heard it preached several times. If you've been in church a while, and there are certainly many, many applications here. But what I want to see this morning is what we read through there are four examples of people who are living their lives for others. First of all, I want you to see a teacher. Verse number 1, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who should be able to teach others also. And what Paul was trying to do before he died was pass it down to Timothy. And he said, Timothy, I want you to pass it down to others. So I thought about a teacher. Teachers give of themselves so that others can gain knowledge. And I know that we can get down on the public schools, and I know some of the craziness in the schools today, but there are still good teachers there that want to do right and want to teach kids and have a heart for kids. And no doubt there are some Christian teachers in the public school. And whether they're Christian or not, young people, you ought to have a respect for the teachers that aren't making much money. And all you homeschool kids, your mama ain't getting paid at all to deal with your homeschool. And so you ought to have a little respect for them. But thank God for teachers. Those are the type of people that they give of themselves. They are not selfish because they want others to gain knowledge. And then I see a soldier there, of course, in verse number 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And I know the context, and I know the preaching that can be done. I'm choosing to use that for a purpose this morning and stay here. I see a teacher. I see a soldier. What does a soldier do? A soldier serves and protects the freedoms of millions of people whom they've never met. Then I see a third person that is selfless, and that is the farmer in verse number 6. The Bible says the husbandman, those are farmers, that's a farmer. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits, all right? So in application here, I'm sure that every farmer that grows a garden, my dad grows a garden, Brother Jerry Smith used to grow a garden, probably several of you in here, and I don't grow gardens because I don't eat vegetables, amen? As a kid, I tried to grow a corn nut tree, but it never grew as far as I know. I've driven back by that house. They gave us the bag, the seeds were in there, it said grow a corn nut tree, and I believed them. Didn't work, I guess. Or maybe those people in Grand Prairie are eating corn nuts. It's in that neighborhood where Brother Grice lives. Maybe he's eating all my corn nuts off my tree from when I was 7 years old. But I know that these guys and girls that that plant gardens, you know, that first ripe tomato, I'm sure they go in and cut it up, slice it up, have a sandwich, and man, they're excited about it. But you know what people that have a garden do? They start giving it all away. They can't eat all those tomatoes, and they can't eat all of the okra and all the squash and so forth. So a farmer, I've never met a selfish farmer. They give that produce away to others. And then, hey, not only do I see a teacher, a soldier, a farmer, guess what we also see in our text, our passage today? We see our Savior in verse number 7. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. And I hope that this morning everyone in here could say, I know for sure, preacher, that I've been saved, that I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, and that I'm on my way to heaven, because you never know when your day of death is going to come. And it'd be wonderful that as you're laying in that casket, some preacher could get up somewhere and say, I know they gave me a testimony of their salvation. It'd be awful for a preacher to have to kind of skate around the issue of where you are, preach about heaven, but never say a thing about you being there. Friend, listen, why would you reject the free gift of salvation? Be saved today. So Paul gives to Timothy several examples of being a Christian or just a person in general that puts others ahead of self. But then as he's writing to Paul, to Timothy, and he knows that Paul knows that his time on earth is nearing an end, he reminds him just a few verses later that in the last days, most people would not have the attributes of a teacher or a soldier or a farmer or the Savior. Look at chapter 3 and verse 1. He said this, and also that in the last days perilous times shall come, dangerous times, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. I realize some read that and think, well, homosexuality, yes, that's an abomination against God. The book of Romans covers that and other places. But right here, look at all the words that are given here. This is not homosexual. Lovers of their own selves is people stuck on self. Covetous. We're never satisfied with what God gives us, so all we want to do is complain about what everybody else has. boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers. Well, we live in a world today, don't we? People say anything. They can say anything about you online, and you're guilty until proven. Well, you're never going to be proven innocent because somebody with a thumb typed something about you. We live in a crazy world. Incontinent. That's lust out of control. That's lust without restraint. That's just doing whatever you want to do. Whatever feels good, do it. Fierce. Despisers of those that are good. Turning on the wrong people. Traitors. Heady. That's heady is it's hasty. It's making bad choices quickly. High-minded. That's just prideful. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. And certainly we're talking about a lot of people that are lost. And I believe there are a lot of people sitting in churches today, not just ours, but others that are lost without Christ, that never truly been born again. If you deny the power thereof, you're denying the gospel. Paul said there in Romans, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And he said there's going to be a crowd that they have a form of godliness, a form of churchiness, but never truly been born again. So Paul reminds Timothy that in life there are some teachers, there are some soldiers, there are some farmers, certainly our Savior, that are an example of the type of people that we ought to be. Love God, love your neighbor. But he says, Timothy, I'm heading on to heaven now, but I want you to be mindful of the fact that in the last days you're going to have a lot of people that are anything but selfless. So I believe what he does after that is, after he warns him of that, or reminds him of that, I believe he starts giving him some ways to live faithfully for Christ in the last days, okay? And that's what I want to give you this morning. If you're taking notes, I have, I think, about five, maybe six points, but how to live faithfully for Christ in the last days. Remember where the Bible said, when the Lord comes, will he find faith upon the earth? I told someone the other day, I told a preacher friend, I said, you know, I've never really studied it out, that whole passage where it talks about that there would come a day where there was a falling away. I said, I've never studied it out, so I couldn't tell you just doctrinally this is exactly what that means and how and what and whatever. I said, but man, look at the churches that are falling away from the cause of Christ and becoming little entertainment centers. Look at the preachers that once stood for truth and right and holiness that are giving in for the podcast and all the stuff. I said, look at the Christians that are falling away today. I don't know about you, but I don't want. I had a young man tell me years ago when I was still youth pastor, he told me, he said, preacher, he said, I don't want to be a sermon illustration one day. And yet he is. He did become one. I blame his parents more than I blame him, but he did become one. I don't know about you. I don't know how long God will allow me to pastor, whatever God wants me to do, but what I don't want to do is quit on God. I want to do what I can with whatever health I have, whatever time I have left. Young people, listen, the world is pulling at you. You've played tug of war before, and you've given up, and you've let go of the rope, and you think, man, it's funny the other crowd falls. But I'm telling you, you're 16, 17, 18 years old, and right now, picture yourself with the world on one side and with the Lord Jesus Christ and a bunch of good Christians on the other side, and you're in the middle, and you're going to have to decide, am I going towards the world? Am I going to go towards God? By the way, I don't care what your parents do. I don't care what your grandparents do. This is your life for the rest of your life. You're going to have to decide whether or not you're going to serve God. And Christians, even in my own home, we have to decide every day that we're either going to live for God or we're going to go to the world. We're either going to live for God and get our heads up and move forward, or we're going to let people get us down and say it's not even worth trying anymore. And I want to give you some points this morning on how to stay faithful, how to live faithful for Christ in the last last days. Young people, look up here. You guys need to sit still and look this way, okay? All right, you guys are moving around a lot. You need to focus on what's going on here. Number one is this. How am I going to live faithful for God till he comes back or until I die? Number one is this. Stay away from the wrong crowd. Stay away from the wrong crowd. Dr. Bob Smith puts it this way. If you lay down with dogs, you're going to rise up with fleas. Possumology is what he calls it. If you hang around with skunks, you're going to get skunked on. Stay away from the wrong crowd. It doesn't matter if it's a worldly person who is churchy or a churchy person who is worldly. If they're not living faithful for Christ, you listening? I'm not just preaching to young people, I'm preaching to all of us. They are not my crowd. And they are not the crowd that I want influencing my family. Now let me share some flesh moments with you. There are times where I'll allow myself to get in the flesh. There are times where I'm so let down by people or so disappointed by those we've invested our life in that my old flesh will say something like this. God's honest truth, it'll say something like this. Boy, those friends I had back at A&M, those friends I had in high school, they're better friends than most Christians I know. But don't amen here yet. That's what my flesh will tell me, Brother Rich. He'll say, you know what? It seems like life's easier when you're just sitting around a campfire with your buddies. But then when I start thinking, I get rid of that stinking thinking, I start thinking straight, here's what happens. I start thinking, no, wait a minute. Where were they when I got saved? Where were they when my wife and I were married? Where were they when my kids were born? Where were they all the years that God's blessed? If they're good friends, why are they not faithful while I'm trying to serve God? Because this is the wrong crowd. This is my crowd. Best thing you can do if you got an old friend that you want to hang out with, tell them about Christ, get them saved. Brother Greg's been a good friend for 40 years. 40 years we've been friends since the third grade. Guess what? He was living like I was living back in the mid 90s there. But thank God that I witnessed to Brother Greg and he came to church and he got saved and everything changed. We still have a good relationship. We just don't have to have that relationship by doing stupid stuff. Stay away from the wrong crowd. Look at what he tells him there in chapter 3 after he says that the last days, you know, be careful, Timothy. Verse 5, I mentioned it earlier, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women. That's just foolish people, foolish women, laden with lust, just covered, laden with sin, led away with diverse lust. And what that's saying there, how are people creeping into our houses these days? Nobody's getting into my house. They're getting in through the television. They're getting in through the phones. They're getting in through messaging. They're getting in through social media. I'm not saying get off all that stuff. I'm saying be careful. If the Bible says it, why do we think we can do anything opposite and turn out okay? Verse 7, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Verse 8, not now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses. Wow. How would you like to be called out eternally in the Word of God? Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also with resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds reprobate concerning the truth, but they shall proceed no further. For their folly shall be manifest unto all men. Yeah, it is. We're reading about it 2,000 years later, as theirs also was. But so stay away from the wrong crowd. God help us in these last days to have enough discernment to know when we're being influenced by the wrong people. God, help us to know who should be and who should not be influencing our kids. God, help us as parents to have enough backbone to have some control over what our kids are doing and not doing. We ought to know what's going on their phone. We ought to know what's going on the tablet. We ought to know who they're talking to on the phone. Why? Because we're responsible for guiding these kids into the will of God. Stay away from the wrong crowd. The Bible says in Romans 16, And verse 17, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. Friend, remember, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate both day and night. Hey, if I'm going to make it to the end of my life, if I'm going to make it until the rapture, I'm going to have to stay away from the wrong crowd. Number two is this. Look what Paul tells Timothy there, 2 Timothy chapter 3. Number two is this, get around the people that you know to be the godly, helpful people in your life. Get around the people that you know to be the godly, helpful people in your life. He says, Paul, he says, Timothy, in the last days, here's what's gonna happen. He says, but you turn away from that crowd, from such turn away. But then he says, remember the people in your life that you know want what's best for you. Remember the people in your life that are the godly, the spiritual people, the helpful people. Look at verse 10. He says, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions. And he goes on and on and on. He says, Timothy, he says, I'm telling you, in the last days, not going to be many farmers, not going to be many soldiers, not going to be many teachers, not going to be many savior type who would give their life for others. He said, in these last days, as you're pastoring, there's going to be a whole lot of people concerned with this right here, self. And he says, there's going to be a crowd. Some of them will even say, well, you know, you don't have to go to church to be right with God. You know, all the stuff you hear these days. The bottom line is, no matter what anyone says to us or doesn't say to us, we know whether or not we're right with God as Christians. Period. Period. We make any excuse in the world. We're either right with God or we're not. But the way I'm going to help myself is I have to stay away from the wrong crowd. Then I'm going to have to get around the people that I know to be the godly, helpful people are in my life. I've said this before and for years, and I'm not trying to pour salt into wounds. I realize we have a lot of folks here who've gone through divorces, and that's a sad thing. But if I'm in marital trouble, I'm not going to get help from someone who's been divorced three times on how to keep my marriage together. If I'm trying to raise my kids right, I'm not going to get help from the crowd whose kids are running from God and maybe never even knocking the door of a church. But yet we'll begin to listen to these people. We better get around the crowd that we know wants what's best for us. If I know that the things of God and the Bible and the church and things like that are only going to help me, then I'm not going to let some church bashing someone in my life, someone that's just angry at the world over whatever happened in their life, I can't let them influence me away from God. Had to have enough wisdom to know who wants what's best for my life and who doesn't. The Bible says in Philippians 3:17, brethren, be followers together of me and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. So get around the people that you know to be the godly, helpful people in your life. Paul preached and taught and helped people at the Christians there in the region known as Galatia. And he said in Galatians 4:13, you know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first. He said, man, I preached faithfully when I didn't feel like it. My temptation, which was in my flesh, you despised not, nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. He said, you looked at me as God's messenger. He said, where is then the blessedness that you spake of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and given them to me. They say that Paul had some eye trouble. He could just run down to the eye doctor, but he had some eye trouble. And he said, there was a time time, you would have handed me your eyes. You love me so much. He said, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? They zealously affect you, but not well. And I have circled there from years ago, they, because who is the they? Galatians, the next chapter in Galatians 5:7, he said, you did run well. Who did hinder you? I preached a message when Sarah and Sage graduated. Was that 4 years ago? Did y'all graduate in 2018? I think you did. Yeah, y'all don't even remember, right? Slept through the whole message. But I preached a message that night on the only who will be you. Who did hinder you? The only who will be you. If I ever quit the ministry, the only who will be me. You don't understand what they did. Doesn't matter. The only who will be you. Well, but doesn't matter. The only who will be you. All right, so I need to get around the people that I know to be godly, helpful people in my life. And the people that love you will tell you what you need to hear, not just what you want to hear. The people that don't, and that, you know, sometimes that's, maybe part of that's not true. I know Miss Ogdy loves me, and sometimes she'll say, You're handsome, and I'll say, I am fat, white. What about me? She's like, I love you. Your beauty is in the eyes of the beholder, right? Every guy in here knows how ugly we are. I didn't say me. I said you too. You're all ugly. But you know what? I need to get around people, whether it's my spouse, my parents, except when they tell me not to have a beard. But I need to get around people. I walked in, my mom's like, what's this? I said, I can put you in a nursing home. Don't be careful now. Oh, man, I would never do that. Sean or Shane could drive them over there. But all joking aside, people, we need to get around people that we know will tell us exactly what we need to hear. If I told you how many people, I wouldn't even remember, but if I told you how many people in 22 years have made this specific statement. Preacher, if you ever see something in me, tell me. Can I give you the sad pastoral truth to that? When they get there, that they don't want to hear it. Usually what happens is we'll have people quit church, or we'll have people cause trouble. And then someone said, I just don't understand why they do that. Preacher, if you ever see something to me, but I rarely do it because it's our old flesh, you know, and I'm that way. I don't want to hear from my wife when I'm doing something wrong, but truth of the matter is what she's saying to me usually is right. Stay away from the wrong crowd. Get around the people that you know to be the godly, helpful people in your life. Number three is this. What's the advice he gives him here in 2 Timothy 3? Continue in the things of God which produce a life of peace and God's blessings. Continue in the things of God which produce a life of peace and God's blessings. All right, he said there's some you need to turn away from. He said, but that is fully known, my doctrine, my this, my that. He said, I'm not perfect. I'm a sinner saved by grace, but you know that I want what's best for you. You know that I'm living for God in my life. And then he says, continue that, okay? Look what he says in verse 13. He says, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. He said, Timothy, keep your eyes on the right people because it's going to get worse and worse with the crowd that's going to try to take you out of the will of God. He says, but here's what you do, Timothy, verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Word of God tells us what's right. It'll tell us what's wrong. It'll tell us how to get it right. It'll tell us how to keep it right. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished, unto all good works. That thoroughly furnished means that the word of God, it will give me everything I need to guide my family. Stay away from the wrong crowd. Get around the people that you know to be the godly, helpful people in your life. Continue in the things of God which produce a life of peace and God's blessing. I like that old song, take the world, but give me Jesus. All its joys are but a name, but his love abides forever through eternal years the same. Take the world, but give me Jesus, sweetest comfort of my soul. With a Savior watching over me, I can sing though thunders roll. Take the world, but give me Jesus. In his cross my trust shall be, till with clearer, brighter vision, face to face, the Lord I see. You know what I need to do when I feel like quitting? I need to just continue down the path that God's brought me down of being obedient to him. Remember when Job said, I go forward, he's not there. I go backwards, I look to the right, I look to the left, I can't find him. But then he says, but he knoweth the way that I take. And sometimes in my life and in my ministry, I feel like, man, I'm all alone and no one understands. And I don't know how I move forward from here. But God always shows us a clear path. Number four is this. I believe he tells him, live like you will one day stand face to face with Jesus. Live like you will one day stand face to face with Jesus. We have this bad habit of thinking, well, I'll tell you what, it might happen to that person, but it'll never happen to me. I'm so on fire for God, I'd never. Isn't that exactly what Peter said in the Garden of Gethsemane? Paul said to Timothy, he said, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead, at his appearing and his kingdom. He's going to judge the quick, the alive, the born again, the saved, and the dead. And he says, at his appearing, that's the judgment seat. That's the quick, that's the alive. We're taken out of here at the rapture. And his kingdom, when he comes back in that millennial reign, and at the end of the 1,000 years, the dead, the lost, are going to be judged before they're cast into an eternal burning fire. Listen, the Bible says that every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. I don't like the preaching, the yelling, and all that. Well, that's preaching. That is, we've just gotten away from it in our world today, in our churches. But preachers are trying to prepare us to face our Creator, because we're going to stand before Him face to face. And I know this is just my flesh. I can't mess up Miss Nielsen's good decorations here. Kids, don't climb on the furniture. I would be very upset, okay? I know this is just flesh, but Brother Anderson, Dad, I wish God would just set up a grandstand beside the judgment seat of Christ. Say, all right, now I want all the pastors to come sit right over here. And as you give an account, we're not your excuse anymore. Well, you didn't visit me when I was sick. You didn't send flowers when I was in the hospital. Well, he let the youth pastor get onto my kid. Well, he didn't think I should be driving the bus anymore. Or he told me I couldn't teach my class anymore because I'm unfaithful or whatever it may be. Like preachers just sit in our office finding ways to offend people rather than just seeking the will of God and direction and peace and how to keep a church moving forward. I know it's just my flesh. The Bible says nothing about this. I know that so shall we ever be with the Lord once we go to heaven. But friend, listen, kids, your parents are not going to be your excuse one day. I realize that you can be put on a wrong track early in life. I realize that, and that's sad. But you have to choose to serve God. You have to choose to serve God with your life. We have to stop blaming everyone else around us. And I need to start living like I'm going to stand face to face with my Savior. Here's the last one. I believe in this passage, if you kind of read through there and see that what he's telling him, I think he says, Timothy, I'm not going to be around much longer. And here's the last bit of advice, number five. Find the center of God's will for your life and stay in it no matter what others around you do. Find the center of God's will for your life and stay in it no matter what others around you do. I'm a preacher. My dad is a preacher, but I'm not a preacher because my dad is a preacher. Did it put me on a path to that? Oh, I believe God blesses your family and God does things. And I don't even want to think where I would be had my parents not gotten saved and got in church and stayed in church all these years. But my son doesn't have a call to preach on his life that I'm aware of. He doesn't have to be a preacher. He needs to be in the center of God's will for his life. My daughter needs to be in the center of God's will for her life. Find the center of God's will. He says that. He says, preach the word. Now, this is to Timothy, a preacher. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Do it when you feel like it. Do it when you don't. Reprove, that's mild preaching. Rebuke, that's foot stomping preaching. Exhort, encouraging with all long suffering and doctrine. He says, time will come to not endure sound doctrine. And it's going back to that, you know, we're getting to that place where people will specifically see what the Bible says and turn away from it and say, well, I just don't believe that. But he goes on to tell Timothy, he says, make full proof of thy ministry. He says, Timothy, you make sure to be obedient to God. Do exactly what God wants you to do. He says, I'm now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. He tells Timothy in that passage, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. And listen to what he says as he's dying. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. Cretans to Galatia. Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Paul said, I'm ready to die, and I'm going to die faithful. But he said, there's a whole lot of people around me that have quit along the way. I mentioned this maybe a few weeks ago. I won't say it again. At the end of the day, every dad in here has to say this. I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know what they're going to do. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We're living in the last days. The signs are everywhere. I think we would all agree with that. Certainly living in a highly self-centered world today. But in the last days, you can still choose to live faithfully for Christ. Can I say this? Not real nice. Let's quit whining about how hard it is to be Christians until they're tying us to stakes and burning us alive, or boiling us in oil, or chaining us to our children and throwing us over bridges to be drowned, or until we're sitting at the chopping block like the Apostle Paul, who is about to be beheaded. What's so tough about Christianity? Getting out of bed and being at church at 10 a.m.? What's so tough about being a Christian? Someone out there is going to mock me? Wow. We can choose to live the life of a teacher, a savior, a farmer, a soldier. It's not all about me. It's about others. Dad, it's not all about you. It's about your wife. Wife, it's not all about you. It's about your husband. Dad and mom, husband and wife, it's not all about you. It's about your children. Teenagers, listen close. It is not all about you. It ought to be about the Lord. Bottom line, we're either going to make it or we're not. I know my personality. I know my type. I don't like foolishness. I don't like drama. You ought to come around my house. I do not like drama. I don't want to hear it. I don't want it. If there's drama, I'm going to be the drama mama. Okay? It's going to be because I'm upset about something. Drama in our house is when I walk in, somebody's sitting on my spot in the couch. And I just give that look as I'm eating my popcorn. Like, yeah, that's the drama. The drama is when I walk in from a busy day and I'm tired and I walk in stinking Steel Magnolias is on the TV. Amen. Or Hallmark anything. Yeah. That just, and here's my drama. Now, I need to see somebody kill somebody before I go to bed tonight. I'm not. Why do we want all this drama in our life? I don't want to be a quitter. I don't want to be a quitter. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. That is the verse that comes to mind when I want to quit. That is what God puts back on me and say, you stinking weakling, you're okay when everything's going great. Here's what I have to do in my life, what you have to do in your life. I have to stay away from the wrong crowd. I have some old friends and people that I'd be there for them tomorrow if they needed me, but I cannot sit. My testimony, if nothing else, but I just can't sit in that crowd. Our 30th high school reunion's next May. If they put it all together, I can't. They're just going to be things. I can't. You understand? People in our past don't understand the grace of God. A lot of them, so they don't. I tell you, those are the shallowest, most petty people in the world. I'll tell you what. You should have saw them when they was 13. Everybody in here, 30 and above, better be thanking God there was no social media. Jerry Jones, could I get a witness? Yeah. Thank God it's under the blood, what we've done. You know, those people that don't understand the grace of God, they don't understand that. I have to stay away from that crowd. I have to get around the people that I know to be godly, helpful people in my life. I have to continue in the things of God which have produced a life of blessing and peace and yes, hard times and yes, valleys and yes, dark days, but God's been good in my life. I have to keep living like I'm going to give an account to the Savior one day, and I don't know what I'm going to say. I'll say, Lord, at 48, I quit. I don't want to have to do that, and I hope by the grace of God I don't. I have to find the center of God's will for my life, plant myself and my family in it, and no matter what anyone else does around me, I have to continue to serve the Lord. I wonder this morning if there's someone here today that's lost without Christ, doesn't know the Lord as their Savior. I pray that you'll be saved today. I pray that today will be the day that you get it fixed for eternity and know that you know that you know that you're saved. Christians, could you imagine if no Christians ever fell away? Could you imagine how full every independent Baptist church would be? I don't want Brother Trent or whoever might be the next pastor here one day to have to say our preacher just got to a place he couldn't handle it anymore. And he just quit. If they say, well, you know, he pastored for 30 years and then he stepped aside, let someone else take it, but he's a faithful Sunday school teacher here, a faithful usher, he's helping mow the yard, that's great. Let's do what God, however God leads in whatever direction at whatever time. But there's a difference between that and just quitting.